I'd like to talk about being a friend of God. You know, I think that's the most important thing we need to get a hold of, is being a friend of God. I think a lot of times people, when they first get saved, they really don't quite realize this, that God wants to be our friend. Even though he's a king, even he's a great God, he wants to be close to us. He wants to be a friend. And that is bringing it very close to us. And if we can get a hold of that, I think that we could serve God even better. All of us could serve him better if we realize how much he wants to be a friend to us, that he wants to help us, that he wants to encourage us, that he wants to strengthen us, that he wants to be there in the good times and the bad times. He wants to be so close to us, and he loves us, and he is close to us. And if we can learn how to be a better friend to him, you know, I believe that in my own life, that has kept me so many times from temptation of thinking how I don't want to displease God. I don't want to disappoint him. He's been too good of a friend to me, and I don't want to do anything to harm that relationship. I want to live close to him and please him, and that has really helped me. I thought about Abraham. Everybody talks about Abraham being a friend of God, and I thought if we could get some of the attributes, why he was a friend to God, what made it that way, so we can be that way. So let's turn to Genesis in the 15th chapter. You know, he was childless and he needed a child to inherit and have people, you know, born from his child. And he was troubled about that. And he thought that his servant was going to be heir to him. But God talked to him and he said in the 15th chapter, he said, Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And you know, Ishmael and all that story, but we want to focus on Isaac. But God told him, I'm going to give you this heir. And he said, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now that's a lot of stars, isn't it? And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. You know, this is the number one thing. To be God's friend, we must have faith in God. We must. And when we have faith in God, God counts that to us righteousness. Every righteous person on this earth has faith in God. He wants to increase your faith. Everything that's doubts, everything that's fears, everything that's unbelief is not something that comes from God. It's from the enemy. The enemy wants us to be afraid. The enemy wants us to be faithless. He doesn't want us to believe. He doesn't want to believe anything. But God wants us, always encourages us to have faith in him, to believe that he's going to answer our prayers, believe that he's going to help us, that he's going to take us through. You know, we are facing many things in this world right now, but if we can just know that God is our friend and that he's going to help us and he's going to take us through. We've had some hard times lately, but God has been there. He's been there to help us. He's been a friend to us. He's took us through. You know, that's the way God is. He loves us. He knows what you're going through. He knows, and he wants to help you. But you know, Abraham, this is said, he believed. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. God counted that to him for righteousness. That is one reason that Abraham was a friend of God, and God mentions that, because he believed God. Do you know that he takes note of how much you believe God, how much you believe his word, how much you believe he's going to answer your prayers, how much you believe that he is going to take care of you, that he's going to work things out for you? You know, there's many things that he works with us, and he wants to help us to have faith. And then I thought about covenants and promises. You know, when God is our friend, we make promises to God. When I first was saved, I told the Lord, "Lord, you forgive me of my sins, and I'll live for you." I made a covenant with God. We make covenants with God. When we get sanctified, we put our all on the altar. We consecrate all. And we tell God, "Lord, live or die, I'm yours. I belong to you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll consecrate to any calling you give me. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I am yours. I want to be your friend. I want to have faith in you. And I give my all to you." That's sanctification, giving your all to God. And, you know, as we draw nigh to God, and we're like, God becomes a very dear, close friend of ours. It's not so much, there was a lady came to me one time. I was telling her in real estate, I was telling her about a testimony about how God answered prayer for me, how God did different things for me. And she said, "I don't know how you get a hold of God like that." She said, "I don't know how you bring him so near to you, so close to you." She said, "To me, I think of God as real far away, way up in the heavens somewhere. I just cannot seem to bring him down to that closeness of relationship." You know what I mean? That you can talk to him and that he's your friend. And, you know, I think that's the most wonderful thing, saints, that we can do that. That we have a relationship with God where we can commune with him day or night. We don't always have to be on our knees, but we can talk to him always. Pray without ceasing. We can talk to him. You know, and Abraham was very dear to God. And he said in the 18th verse, "And in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." And then we want to go on to the 17th chapter. And then, you know, God was talking to him in the 17th verse, and Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" Now, you might read that and think, well, he laughed. He said he believed, but then he laughed. But if you study this, it said he laughed really for joy. He laughed for joy. He was just so overcome. Have you ever done that? Have you ever laughed for joy? And sometimes you just so, you don't know what else to do but to laugh. Because you're just so happy that God is doing something for you. And you just laugh for joy. And he said, you know, this was something impossible with man. He was 100 years old. She was 90 years old. Past the childbearing years. Impossible with man. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. And so, you know, it goes on to say, and God said, "Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him." Now, you know, Isaac, God named Isaac. And, you know, God named John the Baptist. The angel said his name shall be John. But, you know, God named Isaac. So I thought, well, what does Isaac mean? So I looked it up. What does the name Isaac mean? Because that must be very good or very important if God named him. It means to laugh or to rejoice. You know, this was a rejoicing son. This was something to not laugh in a silly laugh, but laugh or rejoice in your heart with great joy. You know, when the angels came and Jesus, before Jesus was born, and he said, remember they proclaimed great joy and tidings of great joy? Because Jesus Christ is going to be born, there is a joy in God, and there's a laughter that we have in our souls that is not the same kind of silly laugh about just being funny and ridiculous, but it's joy in our soul that overflows us, and we just are so joyful and so happy. Sometimes people don't even understand that, but it's because you've got the joy bells of heaven in your soul, in your heart. And you can't contain it, and you have to be happy, and you have to rejoice. And like Sister Catherine Williams said one time, you know, "I'm not going to let the rocks," it said, "cry out for me. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to rejoice. While I have my being, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to be testifying. I'm going to be praising God. I'm going to be singing. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be doing everything God wants me to do while I have my being." Oh, praise God. So this is, I will establish my covenant. And I will name him Isaac. Thou shalt call his name Isaac. I may paraphrase some of these verses, but what I want to get at is for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Do you know that God likes to make promises with us? He likes to make covenants with us. Did he not set the rainbow in the cloud and say, when you look on that rainbow, you never will the earth be destroyed with water again. When you look at that rainbow, that is a promise from me. And do you know that God wants us not to be fast at our promises, not to just say something that we're not going to do. We need to be very careful. But you know, when we make a covenant with God, that Lord, you know, I'm yours. I'm going to live for you until I die. I'm not going to go back and sin. I'm not going to listen to the devil anymore. I'm going to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. I'm going to live for you. And I'm going to belong to you, and you're going to be my friend forever. You know, that's quite a covenant to make. No matter what happens to me in my life, no matter how the hard places or easy places are, you know, when you get married and you make a vow, you say for richer, for poor, for sickness or in health, don't you make those vows? I'm going to be yours. You're going to be mine. No matter what we go through, you know, get all the lifetime in front of you. You make that vow. Well, you make vows with God too. When you get saved, you say, Lord, I'm yours forever. The saints have made this covenant. I love to see saints that are just 10 years are still saved, 20 years are still saved, 30 years are still saved, 40 years are still saved, 50 years are still saved. Why? How did it be? Not because there's some strong person in their self, not because they're just supernaturally strong. It's because they made their minds made up and they consecrated their self to God and they had Jesus come into their heart and the Holy Spirit came into them and they are sanctified and they are God's child and that's how they overcome. No other way. No other way can a person do that. You can't just have a made up mind only, but it's part of it. You see what I mean? It's part of it. You have to resist the enemy and he will flee from you. You know, we can be a friend of God. We can be God's friend. And then on the 18th chapter, you know, it says three men came by the tent. I believe this was God and angels unawares. And, you know, he's right away, I was thought about the kindness that Abraham had. He said, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Get a little water and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And then he told, I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. And he told Sarah, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd. He fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto the young men. And he hastened to dress it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and they did eat. And he said, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, she's in the tent. And then it goes on to say, he said, according to the time of life, lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old? Also, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, when you belong to God and he's your friend, there is nothing too hard for him to do. I was thinking the other day, I was thinking about the Red Sea, how the children of Israel came against the Red Sea. And the Egyptians were behind them, and they had not the power or the weapons to fight the Egyptians. They were in great need of the friend, being a friend of God. And God fought the battle. He parted the water, which is something man can't do. They walked on dry ground, which that should have been wet. And then the Egyptians were coming, and they drowned. God fought the whole battle. And the Lord kind of brought that to me about some of the things that's going on in this world. It looks so big. It looks like, how are we going to conquer? How are we going to fight this? And the Lord just showed me, I can fight it. I can fight the battle. All you need to do is pray. Pray to me because I'm the God of battles. I can fight it. I can take care of it. Is there anything too hard for God? I ask you a question then. No, there's nothing too hard. There's nothing too hard for God. So he said, now this is what I get a hold of. What a miracle that God done for Abraham. Because he wanted to give him that child. He wanted to bless Abraham. What miracles can he do for us? That he wants to bless our life. That he wants to lead us and guide us and help us. Now, I'm thinking about how the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Now, God, we want to elevate God to where he is. God is the great I am. He is our king. He is our savior. He's everything. He created us. Who are we? Who are we? What is man that thou art mindful of him? We're flesh and blood. Soon we'll lay these tabernacles down and we'll die. Our body will die. But our soul will live forever in eternity with God. So we're created by God, but yet Abraham was the same as us. Only I don't feel like yet that I'm, you know what I'm trying to say? Abraham was a man, but yet God cared about what Abraham thought. And he even thought, should I hide this from my friend? Have you ever thought about that with your friends? Should I tell my friend such and such because after all, they're very close to me. After all, they're special to me. And would this benefit them knowing this? You know, because we consider that relationship. So he says, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great, mighty nation, and all the nations of earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of. So because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah was great, and because their sin is very grievous, but the thought I want to get a hold of is when we are a friend of God, he tells us things. He tells us secrets. He reveals things to us. The closer we get to God, he can warn you of a tragedy ahead. He can protect you. He can help you. You know, I think I testified a little bit, but I don't know if everyone heard this. I'll try to make it short. I'm going to get back a message. But as we were traveling along in Rhonda's car, I was in the second seat, and two of the other girls were behind me. And this big tree limb flew, we were going pretty fast, flew out of the car and hit the side of the window. My head was resting on the window. It bent the car all up, the Yukon there. Bent it all up, took the rubber off the glass, but it never cracked the glass. But there my head was maybe an inch from that big tree that could have went right in my temple. I don't know what it had done to me. It probably had killed me or hurt me really bad, right? But, you know, it wasn't very long ago I had a dream. Now, I'm not saying God gave me this dream or I just had it on my mind. But I dreamed my head was all bandaged with white gauze all around my head. And I was in a hospital, and they said, your skull is cracked in several places, and you're not going to live. You're not going to make it. And I was saying bye to Jerry, and I woke up, and I started crying. I said, God, I know why I dreamed that, but I know you spared me, right? He spared me of something. There's angels watching over us. I believe it. I mean, I believe that God spared me. I give him all glory. You know, we are so fragile. Our human body is so fragile. Freak accidents can happen like that, that can just kill us. But God spares our life because we're a friend of God. Isn't that wonderful? Because we serve him, I believe he spares us many things. He spares us. I've been in several car accidents and different things, but that's why I want to elaborate on tonight. But I wanted to say, all of us have been in dangers. And God, I remember Sister Dina Porter telling us about that car accident. and how she, and they were killed, the man and the little girl. And she could have been her. Could have been her. God watches over his children. He protects us. And I remember one of the saints said to me one time, it's not that we've never been sick. It's not that we've never had great problems or accidents. It's because God has spared our lives. Praise God. It's wonderful to be a friend of God. And you know, he began to tell him, I won't read all of it, but he said, I'm going to tell him what I'm thinking about doing to Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to destroy him. And remember, Abraham immediately said, you know, if there's to be 50, if there's 45, if there's 30, if there's 20. And he said, what about pre-adventure? He said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet, but this once more, once pre-adventure, 10 shall be found. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. How much love and care God has for our feelings of our loved ones. Abraham family there, he had family there, and he was just pleading for them. God cares about that because he's our friend, because we have made a covenant with him. He cares. I want to tell another thing that happened to me, that God revealed to me. Not very long ago, I had in my mind, pretty soon I'm going to try to go see my mother in October. God's opening up a way. I didn't even know if I could go again. But April, I went in April. I wanted to go before my mother's birthday. She was to turn 88 in June. I had in my mind that maybe my mother would not make it to 88 now. I know why I had it in my mind. And if you, I can explain it to you later if you want to talk to me about it. But I had that in my mind, and God knew I had that in my mind. And that's one reason I went in April. Because Mom's birthday was in June. On Mother's Day, I had a dream that night. You know, on that night, the next day would be Mother's Day. That night, I had a dream. And my mother came to me in the dream. And she put her arms around me and hugged me really tight, and it was like I could see her very plainly. And she said, I am staying longer. And then I looked at her and said, oh, Mom, that is so wonderful. That is just so wonderful. And she said, yes, I need to be with you more. I am staying longer. And she hugged me again. And that was the end of the dream. So I said, now God's telling me to stop thinking that. She's staying longer. Because of my distance from my mother, I'm concerned, you know, that I see her now. And God loves me enough to tell me she's staying longer. That is just so sweet. And should I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? See what I'm trying to say? When you're a friend of God, he tells you things. And when I talked to Mom, my mother said, Mom, I had a wonderful dream about you. She said, what? I said, well, I dreamed that God told me you're staying longer. She said, oh, that is a wonderful, wonderful dream. But, you know, it's just amazing how God can talk to us. That means a lot to me. Watch for God, because he comes to us because we're his friend. Praise God. So then I want to go over, we talked about, so faith in God, make covenants and promises when we're his friend. We have kindness. We have conversation and communion with God when we're his friend. Just many things like that, right? And I want to go over and read St. John 15 and 13. It says here, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. When you have a friendship relationship with God, he communes with you. He tells you things. He invites you to the banqueting table. I remember when we had children's meeting, we would sing that little song, come to the banqueting table, you know. And, you know, there's a banqueting table that God wants to be with us. And he will commune with us. And he wants us to know, how can you ever think that I'm so far away from you? You are just not a servant to me. You are my friend. Don't ever forget that. You are God's friend. And that's a lot closer relationship than just being a servant of God. You are his friend. And he wants to be your friend. And he is your friend. And he wants to help you. You know, the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, I want to tell you a little bit about that. That man was from Ireland. He lived in Ireland. He was an Irish man. And he had a girl friend that he was supposed to marry, fiance. He was supposed to marry her the very next day. And they were meeting somewhere. Of course, back, you're talking about 1844. They're riding horses. And as she was riding the horse, the horse got scared, knocked her off, or hit her head on a rock or something that killed her instantly, and she was by water. They had to pull her body out of the water. And by the time he got there, they were pulling her body out of the water, and he looked into the face of his beloved, the one he was supposed to marry the next day. You wonder where these songs come from. They come sometimes from very hard places. And this was in 1844. In 45, he decided he was going to move to Ontario, Canada. So he went there, and he was a preacher, and he was also, he just went, spent his life helping others. And they said he would walk down the road with a saw. He was ready to just trim trees, and he only would do it for people like widows or people that couldn't afford to pay him, or older people that wasn't able to cut the trees. He would never take pay for his cutting lumber. And he came from a wealthy family in Ireland. But he condescended and started doing that all his life. For 40 years, this is what he did. But then it tells in 1854, he met another lady. And he fell in love, and he was going to marry her. And get what happened to her. She was 23 years old. And weeks before they got married, she took sick. And she got pneumonia, and they never got married either. So he just spent the rest of his life. The reason this song was born was his mother in Ireland was dying, and they sent word to him. He didn't have the money or the means to get there, so he wrote her a letter, and he wrote this poem, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. Anyway, he wrote the poem, he sent it to his mother, and somehow later it got published into a song. He wasn't, in fact, for 10 years, for a decade, he did not tell that he wrote that song. That's how humble he was. But then finally he told, the Lord and I wrote the song. And he died, and he had a drowning accident. I think it was 1886 he died, yes. He died in 1886, a drowning accident. He never really knew how powerful this song. Here we are. You know, 2021. I got it right on my mind. What?
I read this that song has been in 1,150
songbooks. 1,150 songbooks, Sister Charlotte said. That song is just, it's just a masterpiece, right? It's just, God gave him that song. What a friend we have in Jesus. We ought to know by that God really wants to be our friend. He doesn't want us to think, even though he is our king and we should honor him and we should respect that, but he wants to be our friend. He proved it. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die for us. And he is our friend. I have proved it over and over in my life. And I know, Sister Charlotte, you have to. He is our friend. And this man died before he realized what this song has done to people in their lives. You see, when God gives something, it ripples on and on and on. It's not the man. It's not the woman. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. When he gives something, it ripples on and on and on and on. It goes, the seed we're sowing will reap on and on and on. Even after we're gone, it'll reap. God said his word would not go away void, wasn't that, was it? Well, not. So praise God. So anyway, I wanted to share that a little bit with you. What a friend we have in Jesus. In James 2 and 23, you know, I'm trying to minister this song, this message, but I don't know if I'm really ministering like it is got in my heart tonight. It has just ministered to me so greatly today. And when God started talking to me, you want to be a friend to God. You want people to be a friend to God. You want to get a, they must get a hold of that. You must get a hold of being a better friend. Get closer, closer to me. That's all what it's about. That's all what it's about. Getting close to the Lord. It's not so much rules and regulations. It's part of things that we have to do to please God. But if we can get a hold of the love, it's like when you get married. You know, you don't think about, you know, I'm going to cook for you. I'm going to be your servant. You know, I'm going to wash your clothes. I'm going to cook for you. I'm going to do, or you're going to slave every day for me and bring the money home. You don't think that way, do you? You don't really think that person, I'm getting a hold of this person. I'm going to just, they're going to be married to me for so many years and they're going to do all these things for me. You don't think that. You think, I'm in love. I'm in love. I want to be with this person. That's what God wants you to think that way. He would think that your rules and regulations and all that stuff, and you're going to be, you can't have fun no more because you got saved. You can't think that way. Before I got saved, I had those thoughts. But it was all a lie from the devil. It's been the greatest life to know God and know him as my friend. It's just been the greatest life. I would just do it all over again, get saved all over again, because I've learned that God is my friend. Praise God. In James 2 and 23, it says here, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. And I thought about Moses. You know, Moses was God's friend. He buried Moses. They said he was such a meek man. But one time, because, you know, you got to have mercy on Moses. The children of Israel, it was not easy trying to lead those people. And they were murmuring and complaining. And so he said, must I strike this rock and fetch you water? But he did it different than God told him to do. So he had to get punished and chastised. You know, sometimes he chastises us. And you don't want to think, well, God is my friend because he chastised me. No, he's my friend because he wants me to do right. And he might chastise me, but it's all with love. It's all with love. It's all for our own good. You know, my daddy, he was kind of strict, my fleshly daddy. But I loved him dearly, and he was a wonderful man. And I look back now, and I realize that my daddy did those things because he loved me. He wanted me to be a good girl. He wanted me to be obedient. And the things that he done, I'm sure that prompted me to get saved because he kept me in line. You know, that's because he loved me. But God the Father, you know, they chasten for their own profit, but God chastens for us that we might enjoy eternal life. That's why he does it. So he's such a good friend. And, you know, and then he buried Moses. Can you imagine being buried by God? Just think, I mean, but he will bury us in one way or the other because, you know, he's going to be there. He says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So God will be there. But, I mean, he especially told him to climb the mountain and bury, and he buried Moses because he did not want them to worship Moses. He didn't want them to make a shrine over his grave or some kind of idol. He didn't want them doing that. So he had to hide Moses in the cleft of the rock somewhere. That was why God did it. I could see. I can understand that. And then you got Peter. Peter was a friend to God. He was presumptuous. He was fast. You know, kind of like my personality. I'm like that. And last time I get excited about things, and later, and I just think, oh, this is wonderful. And then the Lord talks to me, no, that's not my plan. And I thought, well, why did I get so excited? I answer quickly. Sometimes someone asks me something. It might be a spiritual matter. And I think, oh, I got the answer. I know right now, you know. And the Lord tells me, slow down. Because that's me. And just slow down. And my husband tells me, why don't you slow down a little bit, honey? And I said, I'm trying. I do try. But, you know, when you're the way you are, the way you are. But the Lord can help that. And you know, Peter was that way. He was just climbed out of the boat. The other disciples were in that boat, but he climbed out of the boat. When he saw Jesus walking on the water, he wanted to walk on the water, didn't he? He jumped right out. Now he started looking around. He started seeing God got him back up. But still, he loved God. But he done wrong. He told God how much he loved him, and he would never deny. He would never. And God said, when the cock crows three times, you'll deny me. And he was so sorry. Well, you might say Peter wasn't his friend. Yes, Peter was Jesus' friend, and Jesus was Peter's friend. But he was human, and he made a mistake. And, you know, the good and the bad's in the Bible, I think it's to teach us to have mercy on one another. Right? Have mercy. Because when Jesus rose from the grave, he said, tell my disciples that I have risen and Peter. I did that. Because he loved him, because Peter was still his friend, and he forgave Peter. Oh, this is, God is so good. He is so wonderful. I just thank him. I have just a couple more scriptures to read in Revelations, and I'll be done, Lord willing. I just so hope this blesses your soul in some way. Revelations 21 and 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You know, we have tears, don't we? I'm so glad God made us with tears. Do you know the pressure? You know what happens why tears come? The pressure of our sorrow or our grief or whatever we're going through, God made us that way. That sometimes it's our only way to express. The tears have to come out, or you could even maybe get sick because you don't want to bottle up too much stuff in here, in your soul, in your heart. Sometimes it's good to cry. And I say that even for men, it's good to cry. You might not want to cry in front of other people, but you know what? There's time to be alone with God. He won't judge you for crying. He won't judge you for crying. But she said, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Is that not a friend that we're looking forward to be with God forever in eternity? We won't have to go to the graveyard. We won't have to say bye to our loved ones. That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing to know someone and love them. And know that they're under the ground and they're buried. And I don't know how we do it. I don't know how we overcome. It's because God helps us. God helps us. Because we have hope of eternal life. But Revelations 22 and 12 says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. So when we are God's friend, we keep his commandments, we please him the best we can, and he'll be a friend to us. I'm not going to sing that song, but unless someone knows that song. But anyway, the Lord did bring that verse to me out. It says, I'll be a friend to Jesus until my years shall end. I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for him I'll spend. I just felt inspired to share this with you tonight. Pray that it'll encourage you somehow. Pray for me that I'll continue to be God's friend.